Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today.
So today, I don't know, it's kind of maybe, if you saw it, maybe that's why some decided to stay away, because, we live in a culture right now where it seems like to talk about holiness is really a taboo thing. I mean, we're getting to an area where we're talking about how to live life and how our life should be different and how, our life changes when we come to faith. But I'm going to tell you something. The only way, even before we do anything else, and if you don't hear anything I say, hear this very first statement, is that the only way you obtain holiness is through the work of God's grace. It's not something, even holiness is not something you do on your own strength. We don't have that power within ourselves. It has to be a work of grace. And so Romans chapter 7, look at the end of this. Romans 7, we're looking at the end of chapter 7, verse 21. I've discovered this principle of life. We're going to read this and you're like, wow, that's me. That when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all of my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Verse 24, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will set me free from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Verse 25, thank God. Can you say thank God this morning? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to say that again. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is in my mind. I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. You know what encourages me about this text? Is that the Apostle Paul wrote it. Now, I don't know if you don't understand who the Apostle Paul is, but the Apostle Paul wrote much of the New Testament that we have. And here is this apostle, this man of God that was like shipwrecked and whipped for his faith and knew what it was to be destitute because of his faith and end up being martyred for his faith. I mean, here's Paul talking about this war of the natures inside of him. But he doesn't end. See, Romans doesn't end here, and Romans doesn't end in verse 25. It even goes on to say, it may be on the same page. You might got to flip your page over or use your thumb and scroll. But in Romans 8:1, what does it say? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And it doesn't even stop there. Verse 2, and because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. And so Paul is writing, there's this battle within me. I want to do what's right, but I always don't always do what's right. I mess up a lot of the times. But what you need to know, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who in Christ Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit can set you free from that pattern of sin in your life. Aren't you grateful for that? You know, Shaylee, My sweet daughter, she is a rule follower to the T. This is the first time she's been in service in a while, so I'd rather use it as a illustration when you're not in here, when you're at preschool, to teach them. But I'm going to use you this morning. She does take after her mom. Our mom's a rule follower. I am not. I'm a little rebellious. Now, don't get me wrong, it makes me a proud dad that Shaylee follows the rules, right? Right? But she does, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for her heart. But it creates a problem with me as her parent and me being the rebellious one. Dad, You're supposed to stop at a stop sign for 2 seconds. If I stop for 2 seconds and everybody else goes, I never get to go. This is Odessa. Dad, you didn't use your blinker. Well, I'm just paying the other guy back. Dad, you can't go this way. This is a one way. I'm going to go whatever way I want to go to get there. Dad, why are you going on the speed limit? That's just because I want to. So, but through Shaylee, rule following, and driving, I've realized that one of the problem drivers in Odessa just might be me. Because you guys know I use a sermon assertion every single week about our drivers here. I may be a culprit. I may be. But we live in a culture today that tells us, don't tell me how to live. Don't judge me. I can do things my way. I mean, since nobody's perfect, right? What does it matter? As if you've heard the last 5 weeks, we don't earn salvation. Salvation is a gift. We have this thing called grace. And we understand that God doesn't throw us out after just one mistake, but there's still this battle within inside of us. I'm going to tell you something. The power in grace is just not to give us what we don't deserve in salvation and forgiveness, but it also changes us. If you are a recipient of God's grace, the pattern of your life should be changing. That is grace. If your life is not changing, then you haven't been baptized in the fullness of what it means to partake of grace. So I want you to know this. The war within can be won. The war within can be won. Because I know that may not fit everybody here, but there's some of you here, when we read that part in the end of Romans 7 of this battle, that I want to do right, I want to live for God, I want to make the right decisions, I want my life to matter for Him and these things, but yet there's this nature in the side of us that kind of, it pulls us back to the old patterns, or it pulls us back to the old mistakes, or it pulls us back to where we fell short, and it should do a little bit of comfort that a lot of us still feel that way even when we've been in this thing for a while, but we understand something, what grace enables us to do, and grace enables us to win the battle within. I mean, I was looking at this, and many times I'll just kind of read it in the message, and it'll be on the screen, but I want to read this Romans 7 in the message. It says this, it happens so regularly that it's predictable. I mean, does that not meet anybody's, hello? The moment I decide to do good, sin is right there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. I think it's an excellent description. Parts of me covertly rebel. Just when I least respect it, they take charge. Verse 24, I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? Verse 25, the answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in his life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all of my heart and mind, but am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. All Christians struggle against sin, and we must never underestimate the power of sin. And we must never attempt to fight sin on our own strength. Satan, he is a crafty manipulator and tempter, and he knows right where to pull the strings in your life. But you need to know that even though that battle is warring within inside of you, that you can win that battle, and how you win that battle is dependent on God's grace. God's enablement, God's power, God's provision for victory over sin is through grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we fall, yes, He will lovingly pick us up. He doesn't throw us out just because we fall short one or two times. But what needs to happen is say, you know what, God, where do I need to surrender? What needs to happen in my life? Where do I need to allow grace touch my life that I don't keep falling for that? God created us with a deep down hunger to know Him. Romans 2:15 is a powerful verse. Romans 2:15, it tells us they demonstrate that God's laws is written in their hearts for their own conscience and thoughts, either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. This is talking at specifically to Gentiles, and I don't want to get in a whole backstory about this verse and the scripture in Romans 2, but here's the thing. Here's what you need to know, is regardless of where you are in your relationship with God, regardless how mature you are in the faith, or maybe you haven't come to faith in Christ yet, God has written His laws upon your heart. And the way you live life either condemns you or brings life to you. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts for their own conscience and thoughts. Listen, either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. The way you are living life right now, either you have a peace that everything is right with God or you don't. And the only way to have that peace of God at work in your life is through the grace of God. James 4:5, do you think the scriptures have no meaning? I love the way the NLT says this. They say that God is passionate, that the spirit He has placed within us should be faithful to Him. God has created inside of your heart, inside of you, a spirit, that spirit man. And He created that spirit man to hunger for Him. If you grew up at all, if anybody ever go to Sunday school back in the day, you may go to Sunday school. I tell you something I learned in Sunday school. Was that God created all of us with a God-sized hole in our heart. Anybody ever hear that? That's what the scripture's talking about. God created you to pursue Him. God created you to live holy for Him. So if He created you to do that, don't you think it's possible then? Do you think God would say, this is what I want for your life. I'm not going to give you any help. I'm not going to give you any power. You got to do this thing on your own. That is not grace. God gives grace. And He gives that enablement, that power. You will never be content without God. You'll never know the fullness of life without God. You'll never have the fulfillment without God. And you'll never be whole without God. See, grace writes the law of God on our hearts. And I know, even then, I mean, we're like, really, the law of God? I mean, are we going there? Are we being that strict? No. Yeah, listen to me. Grace writes the law of God on our hearts. The Apostle Paul writes that it's the relationship between Christ and the church as a marriage. When I, when I look at mine and Angela's relationship as a healthy husband and wife, I mean, love, it caused us to get lost and putting our needs above each other's. She's trying not to giggle. I mean, that's really what marriage is supposed to be, right? It's supposed to be that we sacrifice each other, we love each other, we care for each other, we serve each other. But there is a safety when your relationship is in a healthy place. You know, there's times, I know this may shock you, and I'm sorry, but there's times that I've hurt Angela. But when your relationship is in a healthy place, that's where you can give forgiveness. And she does. She can forgive. And I know that some of you don't know this or realize, and some of you are going to think I'm a liar, but there's been times where Angela's messed up and hurt me. But you know what I did? Because we're in a healthy place, I forgave. See, that's the example of grace. You see, in marriage, right? I mean, if we were to look at it like in just an analytical level, in marriage, it's expected that I love my wife. It is expected that I be faithful to my wife. It is expected that we're partners in life. But see, it's marriage is more than just expect. All those things may be true, but see, I married Angela because I love her. I am faithful to her, not because I'm expected, but because I love her. I serve her not because it's my duty that I'm supposed to do, but I serve out of love. And see, we can either look at the law of God as rules, or we can understand that as we walk in grace, it's about a love relationship more than it is a rules relationship. And because our relationship is healthy and a love relationship, I may hurt her, but she forgives me. She may hurt me, but I forgive her. We extend grace. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10, this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I'll write them on their minds. Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and their lawless deeds. What a promise that God gives us. Christ has purchased the new covenant with his promise. He shed his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins, and it replaces that old man with a new man, that old life with a new life, right? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He removes that rebellious heart. He puts in this new heart, and in that new heart is the desire to serve God with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind. Hebrews is teaching that when we are born again, God gives us a new heart, a new spirit, and the result is the law of God is no longer, listen, this is really key, offensive to us. That's what it is. I'm going to tell you, there's a saying, I haven't said it in a while, but I was thinking about it this week, to offend the mind shows the heart. To offend the mind shows the heart. And when you start getting down where people live and how they're living life, like, uh-uh. No, you ain't going there in my life. No, I can do what I can live however I want it. I can do what I want to. God knows my heart. Y'all just got really, really quiet. But see, the thing is that I don't live this way because it's a rule. I live this way because I love the Lord. I live this way because he's given me grace to do what I can't do on my own. We delight to do God's commands. It doesn't mean that we know them all by heart, but they are written on our heart. Listen very carefully. I think it's in your notes and it's going to be on the screen. It doesn't mean that we'll always get it right. It does mean we want to get it right. It doesn't mean we'll always get it right, but it does mean we want to get it right. It means that when we read God's commandments in his word, the inclination to do them in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we will do them because we love the Lord. We'll do them because the Holy Spirit empowered us. I mean, think about it. If you were to relate it to what I said just a few moments ago, it is expected that I be faithful to God. Really? It's expected that I pray and commune with God. It's expected that I give and I tithe. It's expected that I serve. It's expected that I go to church. I mean, that can be our mindset. And all, is there expectation there? I'm going to tell you, yes, there is. But listen to me. Holiness through grace, I live for God because I love God. I commune with God because I love God. I read my Bible not out of duty, because I want to know God and I love him. I worship not just because there's some words on a screen and some guy says, hey, raise your hands for a minute. I worship because I want to express my love for God. I don't make the tools of discipleship the rules for discipleship. But the tools of discipleship help me foster a relationship with God. You were saved by grace. Don't gauge your standing with God based on how well you keep the rules. Allow the tools to draw you close to place with God. That was a very good statement. And I'm gonna read it again. You need to get this. You were saved by grace. Don't gauge your standing with God based on how well you keep the rules. Allow the tools to draw you close to a place with God. 1 John 5 says this, we know we love God's children if we love God and obey His commandments. Loving God means keeping His commandments. And you know what? Those commandments, they are not burdensome. Are you hearing this morning? John 14, 15, if you love me, obey my commands. But let's look a little deeper now. Let's get to Romans 8. Romans 8, 1 and 2. We read this morning. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. This is something I read. I just want to read. It's very brief, but I read it in one of my commentaries when I was just looking at this. And it says this, often we are like the criminal who hates the incarceration while at the same time denying that he finds security in his cell. Then beyond all expectations, the warden announces a pardon and unlocks the cell. As the door swings open, the prisoner meets the delight of freedom and the tinge of fear of the unknown. What will this new life be like? Many find a strange comfort in the familiar state of condemnation. When a prisoner's in that cell, that's what that is. That's being condemned. That's condemnation. Listen. Many find a strange comfort in the familiar state of condemnation. Christ invites us to leave the cell behind. Some rush out joyfully, some calmly and thoughtfully. Others leave the cell of their old life with painful slowness. Once outside, most of us experience from time to time a strange longing for the old familiar cell. We must remember that we may seem appealing was actually a filthy holding cell on death row. Listen to me. Do not go back. Don't go back to that condemnation. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what grace gives us. And the Bible says in 1 John 3, our actions will show that we belong to the truth. I mean, doesn't that seem like you got to change the pattern and how you're living life, right? Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Listen to what it says in verse 20. Even if we feel guilty. Any Sandlot fans? Anybody know what I'm talking about, Sandlot? Have family night, rent it tonight. But that, anybody remember the saying, what are you thinking, Smalls? I don't know what always reminds me of is like, you got me in the feeling, you know. But listen, even if we feel guilty, look at your neighbor and say, feel. Matter of fact, poke your neighbor on the shoulder right there, just so they feel it. Even if we, you need to know this. Did you know that feelings will betray you? Feelings will betray you. Because here's how this works. We feel guilty. But the Bible says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. See, I understand how we feel sometimes. We feel we're not worthy. We feel like we don't measure up. Is anybody following me? I mean, there would be times, if I really depended on my feelings, I mean, I would be down in the dumps, a despicable human being if I relied on my feelings. But see, it doesn't matter. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings. Yes! God is greater than our feelings. You see, the thing is this. If you are at a place and you've come to the Lord and you said, Lord, forgive me of everything that I've done wrong. Forgive me for my sin. And you know what, Lord? I believe that you're the Son of God and you rose from the grave. And I believe that you're now at the right hand of the Father, Jesus. If we make that confession, the Bible says we are saved. Do you hear me? We are saved. So there's times I make a mistake and I'm like, I don't feel very saved right now. Therefore, there is now no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you hear me this morning? See, the enemy wants to use that feeling of guilt and that mistake to put you back in that cell and lock the door and throw away the key. But God's promise says you are not condemned. You've been justified. You're being sanctified. And you're my child. That's what God's word says. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and He knows everything. Here's the next thing. We will be led by our own fractured desires, or we'll be led by the Holy Spirit. One of those natures inside of you is going to lead. And either it's going to be that brokenness, that sinful nature, that humanity, or it's going to be the Holy Spirit. I find it very interesting at this point, when you go through the book of Romans, as we have these last 5 weeks up to this point, and you go through Romans 1 all the way to Romans 7, you only see a mention of the Holy Spirit one time, once. And you get to Romans chapter 8, and you see the Holy Spirit talked about 20 times. I'm going to tell you something. The only way to break free from the power of sin, the only way to break free from that law, the only way to break free from that old pattern of a life is to allow the Holy Spirit have reign in your hearts. We've all seen that life with God differs from life under the law. It's the Spirit that makes the difference. God's plan was for His Holy Spirit to do all the heavy lifting. It doesn't mean that you don't have a role to play, but it does mean we must rely on the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. Holiness comes from the Holy Spirit. That's where holiness comes from. Holiness comes from the Holy Spirit. And listen to this. Remember this. Lock this into your memory. The battle over holiness is not about holiness. The battle over holiness is not about keeping a set of rules. Listen, the battle of holiness is about surrender. That's what it's about. Am I willing to surrender? Come on, anybody hear me this morning? Am I willing to surrender? Am I willing to yield and just have the Holy Spirit do all that full work in my life? Listen what the Bible says. Can we do that? I know I'm looking at a lot of scripture, but I think it's a good thing. Let's read a few scriptures about holiness coming from the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. God the Father, who knew you, you know what's awesome about this? Is that God knew you and still chose you. He knew everything about you. He knew where you fell short. He knew you're ugly. And He chose you. He chose you. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and His Spirit made you holy. I'm going to say something that if you've got, you know what, this made it make some of your skin crawl. I'm going to tell you what it doesn't say there. It doesn't say you doing what's right made you holy. It doesn't say you keeping a set of rules made you holy. It says the Holy Spirit made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Him. See, that's the key. That's the key, is obeying, surrendering to the Holy Spirit. You have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. May He give you more and more what? What does it say? More and more what? Grace. 1 Thessalonians 4, it says this, God has called us to live holy lives. Well, if you've never read it in the Bible, there it is. I can live my life how I want to. No, you can't. But the reason of why and how you do it matters. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Verse 8, therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting who? Wow. Listen to what it says. Who gives His Holy Spirit to you? Who gives His Holy Spirit to you? Because it's God's grace, it's God's gift, that Holy Spirit that enables you to do this thing anyway. It sparks that want to, for you to want to do it anyway. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. As for us, we can't help but thank God for you. Listen, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, We're always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Holy Spirit who makes you holy, the Spirit who makes you holy, the Spirit that makes you holy. And through your belief in truth. So how does this happen? And this is where we're going to close. It's three things very quickly. One is this. If you want a life change, if you know the pattern of your life is not going in the direction that it needs to be. And here's the thing. Is that if you'll really take the time and however you do that, you close your eyes, you get alone, you get by yourself, whatever it takes, when that quiet moment happens, if you'll listen, you'll know the Holy Spirit speaking to you. There's been so many times that somebody, you'll see somebody's life, right? Yeah, how many times have we seen this? Somebody, God touches them, man. When God touches somebody, it's a beautiful thing. And they're crying. They're blowing the snot bubbles, and we got to get the Kleenexes and put it in their hands. That God moment where something's happening, and then they start off with some unction, right, with some fire, and they're listening to Caleb all the time, and. They're looking, what can I do? Where can I serve? And they're worshiping. And then sometimes after time, you kind of see that fire kind of dwindle a little. And then come a little bit less. And, then get their eyes on other things. Anybody know that pattern? Anybody ever seen it before? Maybe seen it in your own life a little bit. I know I've seen it in my life sometimes. Here's I would say 99% of the time what's happened. It's when you're in that moment and God's doing that work, it's new, it's fresh, and you feel brand new, right? You feel clean, and so you start worshiping, you start hearing some preaching, you start responding to some altar calls, and then deep down, just really deep, maybe like deep down, some of us have more room for the Holy Spirit, so we get convicted a lot, but. Just really deep down, all of a sudden, whether it's something you hear or something you just know. You know what? I need to stop doing this. Or you hear that still small voice. I really want you to go this direction, to do this. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm going to tell you, 99% of the times when it comes to that moment, and they whether it's just a direct verbal thing or by action, and they say no, it heeds and stops the work of God. It heeds and stops the work of God. And that's the truth. See, the only way to keep it going and that work going is to walk in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. And the reason I use that term, because in Acts 15, I love Acts 15. Acts 15 is where this council meets, and because the Jewish, because all the apostles are Jewish men and kept Jewish laws, and then God starts doing this work in the Gentiles. I love reading about that. I love when that happens. You can read Acts 10 and different things. I spent all day yesterday smoking pork butt. I'm going to tell you, it was awesome. I get to do that? I'm going to tell you, I'm just not being frivolous about this, but there was an encounter that Peter had in Acts chapter 10 where God declared all things clean. Thank you, Lord. So I can now have a pulled pork sandwich that I put on the smoker for 13 hours yesterday. I'm going to tell you, it's good. And so the gospel and salvation came to the Gentiles, and it rocked the Jewish world. They're like, wow, salvation is for them too? Wow. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for them too? And so they have this council in Jerusalem. They bring in all their smart holy guys, right? And they're discussing all this stuff. They're like, matter of fact, I love in 15:11, you don't have it there, but it says this, we believe that we're all saved the same way by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. Right? That's a beautiful statement. But then they say this in verse 28, for it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. You see, that's a cooperation that our spiritual forefathers had with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to live a life surrendered, if you want the work of God to continue in you, then you need a partnership and a cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Do you hear me this morning? You need to live in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. You see, that when that still small voice speaks to you, it's like, okay, Lord, I'm going to walk in cooperation with you. I don't understand it. I don't fully. I mean, that had to be some of their mindset in Acts 15. Really? I mean, it's not going to matter what they eat. Really? It's not going to matter if they don't go sacrifice at the temple. Really? Yes, really. Why? Because we've all received that undeserved grace of God. The second thing is this, is yielding the Holy Spirit. There is a difference between cooperation and yielding to the Holy Spirit. And you can maybe picture this as a stair step, but yielding to the Holy Spirit. I love Galatians 5:16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. There are some of you that I think your biggest struggle is you're trying to live life on your own and not depending on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will remind you what Jesus taught, even though you didn't hear what Jesus taught. Hopefully the light bulb just went on for some of you. When we yield to the Holy Spirit, one of my favorites is Galatians 5:25. If we're going to live by the Spirit, then let's keep in step with the Spirit. That takes a yielding to do that. And that means, Lord, wherever you lead, I'll follow. My answer is yes before you ask the question. Remember, we've talked about that. There has to be a cooperation of you together. God gave the Holy Spirit to you as a special gift, as an advocate. The Holy Spirit, the literal meaning is the one who comes along, who's just like Jesus. And he fills you and he empowers you, and we walk in cooperation and we yield, because he's going to tell you, don't say that. Yes, Lord, I'm not going to say that. Hello? You're going to be on the altar and God's going to speak to your heart. Don't drink that. But Lord, there's nothing I read in the Bible about that. If you want the continued work of the Holy Spirit, then you yield. The third thing is this. Surrendering to the Holy Spirit. Surrendering to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, all these kind of can be the same if you want to look at it that way. But cooperation, yielding, and just complete surrender. Ephesians 5, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Verse 17, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. Have a place of complete surrender. Romans 12:2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, because all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he'll find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.